Hello, friends, and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. I'm Dalton Del Don, and today I'm joined by Jerry Donabedian from RotoWire, who will help me break down everything you need to know following today's cutdown. Jerry, what's up, man? Long time no talk. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm a Ravens fan, so it wasn't the best weekend for my team, but other than that, I'm good.
Before I forget, everyone should read Jerry's Hidden Stat Line weekly column on RotoWire. It's definitely a must read. You're right, though. There's not a ton of news on for the cutdown situation. First, Cam Newton was released. I know Matt Harmon went deep on this yesterday, but briefly, I just want to say I shot Damian Harris really obnoxiously high to number 17 on my running back board. Tell me I'm crazy and that Stevenson's going to be the man and Belichick's going to do some shenanigans with the running back situation.
I don't think so. Okay, part one, yes, I do think you're crazy for Damian Harris at number 17. But I don't think it's because of Stevenson, although I would like that to be the case based on my teams. I don't see much upside. I actually liked Harris better with Cam Newton. I thought they would run the ball more. And obviously Newton is taking a lot of those carries. But I do just think I really like James White more now with Mac Jones. Not that he's going to go back to like the Brady year's production. But I do think there is at least some upside for that team to throw the ball like 500, 550 times now. Whereas before, with Newton, there was just no real upside for the passing game.
Yeah, White's 29 years old. Harris is all-time leader yards per carry at Alabama. I just think he's going to get double-digit touchdowns with that offensive line, and they're going to run the ball like crazy. But totally, it's a fair assessment that I'm being a little bit reckless with that high ranking because it could go south. For sure, they don't throw the ball. They don't throw it to him at all. They threw like the third most targets to running backs last year, and he got none of them. So it wasn't
issue. That's part of what worries me is that not that it was just him, but that it was with Michelle and in the past with Blount. Like, they just do not throw to their early down back, whereas like other teams – that, you know, even if the guy is coming off an obvious passing downs, he ends up with 30, 40 catches if he's a lead runner. I think with the Patriots, it's like he could have 240 carries and 12 catches. And I worry with Stevenson being a huge 235-pound type back that even if he doesn't get many carries, he'll be like that Burkhead guy who's just like a pain in your butt all year long.
I also rank Jacoby Myers pretty highly too. You do like him. Okay. Quick other ones. The Texans released Kiki Coody to the Colts and Tyron Johnson ended up at the Jacksonville. Do you have any thoughts on any of those at all?
The Coody one killed me. He was like, him and Salvin Ahmed have been like my just smash into the 19th, 20th round of every best ball. Like, I don't care if I've got them on 60% of teams. So that's like probably a zero now. But I guess when you're talking 20th round, like whatever, a lot of the other guys are cut. But I did kind of think afterward, like, I should have just taken Hunter Renfrow. Like, you know, it's best ball where like there is some value to just like 50 catches for 600 yards. But other than that, like this Chargers number three receiver battle got a lot of talk this summer. But I just think it was like a slow summer for job battles, honestly. Like, there just wasn't that much. Normally we've got like five running back jobs up for grabs. This summer, like, it was only really Miami and only that was late. So I just think it got a lot of attention, but like the Chargers are going to throw the ball to Eckler and Allen over and over and over. I think it's going to be the same under the new coaching staff. So like, yeah, I don't really care about Josh Palmer, or Jalen Guyton, or if it had been Tyron Johnson.
And then the other cuts are like the Wayne Gallman types, which I'm going to, we're going to talk about. One of our themes is the late round running back sleepers. Kind of jump around here, your ADP column. And then, of course, we'll finish with the final of my segments. I've hosted these five guests episodes, and I did a must have and a must fade segment at the end where I'm going to put Jerry is going to be the final person in the hot seat for that. But briefly, quickly before that, on the news is Irv Smith, his knee surgery looks like he is going to miss the whole season. Bummer, man. I had him all the way up to my tight end 9. I kept grabbing him in multiple leagues. I thought he was just going to eat in the red zone. Thoughts on Conklin or actually, first I'll ask you about that, and then I want to further delve into the Vikings real quick.
I was actually just tweeting about the Vikings a bunch. I think they're looking pretty thin. Their roster is just very thin right now. Obviously, they've got the superstars. But I like Tyler Conklin more than most people. I think he's at least to start off. I don't think Chris Herndon like is a guy who's going to be ready to play in a week and a half. I don't think he's like really even a player. I think he just had one decent year and like he doesn't matter. I think they'll probably end up cutting him at some point in the season. But I think Conklin almost defaults into a three down role. He's not going to see a ton of targets, but like four or five targets per game in an offense that has those other bodies, like maybe he does, being a tight end, do some of the Rudolph stuff, just poaching short touchdowns. So in deeper leagues or leagues where like you really need a second tight end, I'm interested in him. But yeah, mostly it's just disappointing because I thought Irv Smith was going to have that breakout season, being 23 years old, like starting at a young age, and now Rudolph gone. Even as a third option in that passing game, I was really excited about him this year.
Yeah, and you know, it was discouraging when Herndon was receiving no buzz, even post Adam Gase. That's a rare player that didn't get an immediate bump. So I want to ask you about the Vikings, because I just did my AFC preview, just went live on Yahoo today, and I'm going to still tinkering with my NFC one. And I want to have them winning that division with Green Bay regressing some with their, you know, they're so good at the red zone and back-to-back NFC championship games. And Vikings, their defense could be a top five unit with Hunter returning. But there are questions, though, with the depth, as you brought up. But Cousins, you know, 8.3 YPA last year. I don't know. What do you think? I could see it going either way with this team.
Yeah, it's funny. I was kind of on board with the same idea in the offseason. I was like, I think I'm ready. I don't think the Packers are going to be great again. I don't think they're going to be bad, certainly. Trying to look for another team in the NFC North to step up, like maybe the Bears with Fields, but now their defense looks questionable. I tried to talk myself into the Vikings, and I kind of did, but now with like the already weak depth thinning out, losing Irv Smith, the offensive line looks mediocre. The defense, it has Hunter back. It has upside definitely with the pass rush, but the rest of it, I don't know. On the back end, I think it's weak, and I think the Packers are just going to take that division by a few games again.
Yeah, I think they might be able to sneak into a wild card, but I think I am leaning toward just, yeah, keeping it the same with the Packers there. And then briefly, Tariq Cohen on the pup list to start the season, not exactly unexpected. Do you have any thoughts on the Bears' backfield?
Yeah, I mean, David Montgomery, I think already his ADP has kind of been slowly rising from, like, I think he was almost down to fourth round at one point. Now he's, like, safely a third round pick, maybe even, like, trending toward the 2-3 turn. And this, I would expect after this that he'll probably go up another spot or two now that we know for a fact Cohen is out the first 6 weeks. Damian Williams behind him, like, I think he'll get a little bit of work, but he's not someone that I think is that important. Like, I think if he had never happened to be in the vicinity of Mahomes and Andy Reid, we never would have, like, given him a second thought. And credit to him for, like, taking advantage of that opportunity, showing that he is a good pass catcher out of the backfield. But so is Montgomery, and he's also a better runner. I don't think it's a given that Williams will get all the third downs. That could be split between them.
Let's just segue right into the first theme then here after the news is just the sleeper, more deep sleeper late round running backs, the guys that could, quote unquote, league winners, the later flyers, not really talking A.J. Dillon or Ronald Jones, whom I love. But give me some names of the running back position, some deep sleepers that you like, Jerry.
Yeah, I already mentioned Salvin Ahmed. To me, he's basically like the same player as Miles Gaskin to an almost creepy extent. Like, you know, they played in college together at Washington. One was one of the final picks of the seventh round, Gaskin. And then the next year, Ahmed was like one of the top UDFAs. Same size, a little undersized, a little slow, but agile, good in the passing game. And just with the revelation kind of this summer that backfield is more open than we thought, and he's one of three guys on the roster along with Brown and Gaskin, you can usually get him around pick 200 still, even after he had a bunch of camp hype from Dolphins beat writers, even after he had two good preseason games. So he's like a really like real late round guy who I think does have upside to potentially kind of do what Gaskin did last year, like probably not RB1 upside. But I could see him being like a solid RB2 if he does get that chance.
Yeah, talk about a possible struggling offensive line. But yeah, if Tua looks way improved, obviously the weapons on wide receiver, and there's no one above him on the depth chart. Like Gaskin's pretty small, man. I don't know if he can withstand a full workload. I know he worked on his flexibility or whatever in the offseason, but obviously drafters are souring on him. And he's another example of these RB dead zone guys. I keep waiting for Atlanta to add someone because, you know, everyone else has been taking hits, either injuries or suddenly Gaskin's running behind Malcolm Brown, who's obviously no good either. So, yeah, I mean, Ahmed is definitely a deep one for sure. Do you got any others? Who's your next one?
Yeah, so another guy who I mentioned earlier was James White. Now, he's more of a floor play, so that kind of depends on, like, you know, if you're a team where you've ignored running backs and you do kind of care about depth in the later rounds because you might start one of those guys, you go with him. But, you know, we know James White isn't ever going to really get many carries. But I do think with Mac Jones, there's a chance for it to be more of a spread offense, more snaps for him, fewer for Harris and Stevenson. If you want like this year's Mike Davis, just look to the Panthers again. Chuba Hubbard. The Panthers only kept three. They kept three running backs on their initial 53-man. One of those was Trent Cannon, who basically only plays special teams. They didn't submit a waiver claim. Of course, the catch here is that the third guy they kept is Christian McCaffrey, which means Hubbard is probably getting like one carry week one. So he's like a complete zero, but who could then be playing like 75% of snaps if McCaffrey misses a game, you know? So I do think McCaffrey is vaccinated, in case anyone's wondering. I think the Panthers team pretty much fully is. I just saw something on Twitter about that. But, you know, with 25 touches a week, he's probably going to miss a game somewhere, you would think.
I like Hubbard. Yeah, we all saw him get caught up on that breakaway run in the preseason, but I've read some decent things. And he, yeah, as you said, it's pretty clear. Not too much competition in Carolina there. As far as the receiving backs with James White, RotoViz has had an interesting column last week talking about how the most underrated fantasy backs are the receiving types. And I'm guilty of it myself. You know, I never really come away with the McKissicks or the Whites or the Hines, Kenneth Gainwell, you could throw in there now. And you're probably right, especially with Mac Jones back there. And people forget, you know, Cam Newton, the mobile quarterbacks just don't typically throw as much, although they still did, and that system is still called for it. So White will be one of those boring veterans, especially in PPR leagues. It'll probably get it done. Who are some other late round fantasy RB sleepers?
Some other guys I'm looking at and who also got good news in these last few days. Justin Jackson from the Chargers. That guy cannot stay healthy, but they seem to like him better than their other backs. And Eckler, we know, is a smaller back. Also a guy who's probably going to max out around 15 carries. So Jackson could see work week one, and then he could be one injury away from like a 15-touch type role. Granted, we don't know how long he can hold up in it, but, you know, when you're talking like 18th round, everyone has flaws, right? So then other guys, Tyson Williams from my Ravens, that's like a real deep sleeper. Kadre Allison from the Falcons, just based on him, Mike Davis, and Cordarrelle Patterson being the only other running backs. Again, like, I don't think there's going to be much of a running game in Atlanta this year, but it's interesting to note that they basically only kept one other real running back. And it's Mike Davis, who's like that, you know. I mean, they seem to think he's great, but to the rest of us, he's kind of a question mark still.
Yeah, I was hoping Foreman would show his old signs there, but I think he might have just resigned to the practice squad. But Allison, definitely a name to pay attention to. Justin Jackson, yeah, you know, we love Eckler. Obviously, he's going to get so many targets there. Herbert targeted the running back so much. And Eckler's now a home of Yahoo family. But man, I'm not buying him in the goal line either. So I've just been waiting for someone to emerge there. And yeah, I mean, possible it is Jackson, but that's been a clouded situation. So yeah, I definitely want you to further delve into the Baltimore situation. So it's for sure Tyson Williams and no Justin Hill. Justice Hill, sorry.
I would go Williams over Hill right now. I think also like Hill is probably going to cost you like it's only been a couple of days, so the data is not super reliable, but he's going to cost you like a late round pick, whereas Tyson Williams can be like, you know, you can draft him when you're drafting your kicker still. And yeah, I just think Hill is a smaller back. Williams is a bigger guy. You look at the Baltimore offense. That might mean that Hill gets more work than Williams week one, right? Because he's like the more, and he returned to practice this week. I think he's going to be back from the ankle injury because he's like the more natural complement to Edwards. He offers what Edwards doesn't. But the Ravens offense is still what it is. And like Justice Hill is not a great fit for it, right? He's more of an undersized speed back, more fitted for a depth role with this team. So I think Williams is the guy who, if Edwards gets hurt, he could be seeing 15 carries.
How high did you move Edwards to running on your running back?
I've got Edwards, like, I don't know, I have an exact number right now, but I basically got him, like, ahead of Gaskin, right around Darrell Henderson. So, like, around, like, 50s overall RB. Right. I want to say, like, RB 25, that would be.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably slightly lower than ADP. So you're not love as a Ravens fan. Just there'll be no receiving work whatsoever, and Lamar will get his. And the last year when Dobbins was out, didn't basically Justice Hill play 45% of the snaps or something like that? I mean, Edwards is still just going to be in the committee no matter who it is.
Right. I think I don't think that they're ever gonna put Edwards. I don't know if they ever put, I mean, we haven't really seen them use anyone for more than like 55-60% of snaps under Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Like even Ingram, when it was just Edwards behind him and Edwards was unproven, Ingram was rotating. I think he'll get, I think he could end up basically doing what Dobbins was going to do. I think you just minus like some of the explosiveness, right? Like Edwards, you know, he's going to be around 5 yards per carry. Dobbins had the upside for more than that playing next to Lamar Jackson. The upside's gone now. I'd still be fine starting him as an RB2 week one in most formats.
All right, I'm going to throw you some of my more intriguing late round fantasy sleepers, running backs, and curious your opinions on them. Ty Johnson, I would imagine his ADP is going to start rising, but I mean, he could. I mean, Tevin Coleman, I have no faith in, and Johnson just passed the eye test for me. I mean, their O-line in New York could be okay, and I mean, Michael Carter, fourth round capital. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's a good one too. Or even Pirine, but yeah, like Pirine really is a kind of a slower guy. Johnson's the best athlete in that backfield. And yeah, like you said, Coleman has looked washed up for years now. I don't know why teams are, I don't know what they see there, but.
Totally. Yeah, maybe I was watching him in San Francisco the last couple of years, but man, he's suffered so many injuries and just looked like totally toast. Speaking of Pirine, what about those, if someone wanted to, you know, say fade Joe Mixon, what would you do? I mean, there's the Samaje Perine, the other Perine there, and there's Captain America, Chris Evans, the rookies looked pretty interesting too, as far as at least as a receiver. I don't know. What if someone were want to fade Mixon? What would you do?
I haven't been drafting either of those guys, but I did see that they kept only three running backs. They let Travion Williams go. So I do always kind of take note of the teams that only have three guys, right? It's just maybe some kind of confidence in the backups, although they could still sign another body before week one. It's always up in the air. I would go with Evans. I just think with Perine, like he's a big back. He's decent at what he does. He plays special teams. But those guys like just don't really have upside. They might hang around like a Rob Kelly type. They might hang around because they're useful to have on a team, but they're just never going to be more than like a 15 touch guy. So yeah, I guess I just kind of go with the theoretical upside when we're talking late rounds.
Yeah, Peyton Barber type. You don't want many
there
of those.
You go.
I think he was actually just released too. Could free up even more goal line work for Antonio Gibson. What about in Seattle? Rashad Penny, first reports were he was healthier than he's been. And now it's like, oh, maybe Alex Collins may win that backup role.
Yeah, and I think they also kept Dallas and Homer on the roster. I think they're going in with, they'll probably release one of them before week one. I couldn't get a read on that. I didn't watch the Seattle the preseason game. I was seeing some talk that Collins had maybe moved ahead of Penny, but it mostly just looked like Collins was just getting more work, which is sort of depending on whether you like the guy or not in preseason. That's either a good thing or a bad thing.
Great if it's Javonte Williams, that means you're the starter for sure, right? I mean, or at least
right. It's either oh my god, he's the starter. Ooh, he's playing in preseason. He's in the doghouse. Don't draft that guy. Depending on which of my lists I already had him on. So no, I didn't really make anything of it. I think it's just like, if anything, I just feel better about Chris Carson. Cause I think I look behind him and I'm just like, ugh, like really? But maybe, you know, they do maybe want to just pass more with, you know, Russell Wilson, basically. If they don't let him, he's going to like pull an Aaron Rodgers next offseason possibly.
No, I agree. There's no one there. Chris Carson, I don't think he's played a full 16 games ever in his career, but I put him right there. There's seemingly 14 backs, it seems like, in one tier, and then it's just a jumble. And I have him right there at number 15 maybe they might even run more hurry up as they're threatening to as well. He probably will get hurt, though. But Carson there, his targets quietly were really increased last year, too. So, I don't know. If he stayed healthy, definitely has some upside. What about Darrington Evans? I was really talking myself into him and being one of my favorite late round flyers. You know, Derrick Henry, 800 carries the last 2 years. I mean, it could just be a different dude. If you've seen his high school highlights, a clip was going around. I linked to it in the AFC column. I mean, the guy just might just be different. And he doesn't even have 1,500 career carries. So maybe he's fine. But if someone were to try to fade him, Evans looked like a really intriguing. And then he left with this non-contact knee injury. And I haven't been able to find any information in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the Titans they've been tricky with injury information this summer.
Okay, interesting. All right, so that's not just that, because I keep searching for Evans, man, and it's crickets.
It's like as I do a lot of covering like Twitter and breaking news for RotoWire, yeah, and like the variance from team to team in terms of like the amount of information is like huge. Like there are some teams where it's just all summer crickets, and then other teams where like all the stuff you don't care about is constantly being tweeted out and you have to like sift through it to find.
Right.
But anyway, yeah,
We don't know Julio at all. Yeah, Julio's health is a mystery,
right? He's been on the field for practice this week, but they haven't really been. They've been in like shorts, so he still hasn't done like a real practice. But him and Brown have at least been on the field. I think they're both playing 90% of snaps or whatever week one. I think they're going to be maybe dealing with nagging stuff all year. But like, I mean, with Julio at least, that's already baked into his ADP, right?
Yeah, totally. But Evans? thoughts?
Getting back to Evans, we're good. There's a lot to talk about with the Titans. But yeah, with him, I mean, that offense, it's going to be so different without Derrick Henry. So like, he's not going to slide into like a huge volume role as a ball carrier. But he could end up seeing like 5 targets per game in an offense with Tannehill, Brown, Julio Jones. That's going to probably put up points, even if it doesn't have Henry this year, which in the past we would have had just concerns that without Henry, they wouldn't be able to move the ball. This year, I think they've got their other guys healthy. They could maybe overcome a Henry absence. And someone like Evans could put up like borderline RB1, 2 numbers if he does step into that starting job for a time.
Yeah, hopefully he's healthy and doesn't have torn MCL and ACL. that division is another one for me. It was tough for me to pick. With them losing, the Titans losing Arthur Smith, I wanted to go elsewhere. Early summer, I got Jacksonville at like plus 700. But man, every single move Urban Meyer's made since has been just cringe. So I settled on the Colts, but I wasn't super happy with that, with Wentz. Some other sneaky sleeper backs. I wanted to say Anthony McFarlane here, and then news broke like right before we started recording. He might be headed to the IR. Tony Jones, any interest him in New Orleans? I mean, you look at his workout metrics and they're pretty sloth-like, but Murray did make the team, but if something were to happen with obviously Kamara, there would be some upside with that offensive line that, you know, some suggest is the best in football.
I haven't drafted Tony Jones anywhere, but it's definitely a ding on Murray just because in past years, like the appeal of him was that the Saints basically seemed like Sean Payton didn't have a third back who he trusted after Kamara and Murray to play. So like when Kamara was hurt, Murray just got all the snaps he could handle. It seems like they like this Tony Jones guy. He had a big preseason. And so I don't know how that's going to shake out. Like maybe they could still, Murray's contract could also still be a factor. So I'm interested to see if there's like another move coming there, if they do end up also keeping Dwayne Washington, their fourth back and special teams guy. Like if they cut him, that would be a pretty clear hint that they're keeping Murray and Jones. So right now I'm still a little bit watching cautiously, but Jones is definitely at least like deep dynasty leagues on the radar.
Don't love the Saints aren't going to be playing at home for possibly the first 8 weeks, you know, obviously on their turf. But man, Kamara, do you think, I mean, with Winston winning the job, Michael Thomas going down, I mean, you could talk yourself into him being the number 2 player now in PPR with Cook's injury history. For some reason, I was like punishing the 21 touchdowns in my head in drafts. I'm like, you know, he can't buy last year's stats. But man, Kamara could just be really a monster yet again. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he might lose a bunch of touchdowns, but add a bunch of targets, which is like,
right.
You wouldn't think he could add that many more targets, but like Winston winning the job over Hill, Michael Thomas is out. They have doubts about Murray now. Maybe instead of Jones getting more time, maybe Kamara gets a few more snaps. So yeah, I do worry a little bit about the efficiency, but like not really, because he still has a top 3 offensive line that's returning all its starters. He's still got Sean Payton. Jameis Winston, we at least know, moves the ball. He might turn it over. But he's fine for like the fantasy players on his team, right? So I think Marquez Callaway will give the passing game at least some kind of component besides
Kamara. I want your opinion of him, man. I mean, we put out a poll right away on Twitter. Someone said Jamar Chase or him, and everyone laughed at the donkeys who picked Callaway. But then you look at these NFFC primetime leagues, and he's like an 8th round pick. And I mean, he looks is he a training camp all-star, or is he the number 1 receiver on with Jameis Winston and literally no one else there and, you know, capable? I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of buying the latter, but you can make fun of me.
I don't think he's nothing. I think the ADP, though, I was surprised. Because I read an article for RotoWire tracking it all summer. In the past week or two, I've been surprised at how high he went up. It seemed like, because, yeah, like you said, like 8th or 9th round seemed high. I think there's always going to be a few receivers there who I like better. That said, I don't feel, when I see him go there, I'm not like, oh man, you just wasted a pick. You know, like him being like a WR2, WR3 for the first half of the season, sure. And then if he does that, he probably stays at least semi-relevant when Thomas returns. I'm not going to be the guy drafting Marcus Callaway in the 8th round.
The 8th's a little aggressive. Yeah, no, the 8th is. But I mean, yeah.
But that's really, I've seen him go there. Like, it's not, and I think his ADP is in the 9th now, maybe early 10th. So yeah, yeah. it's there.
Yeah. No, good segue to your ADP analysis column. I'll let you run away with that in a second, but just brief other running back names. Jamar Jefferson on Detroit, if Swift still battles injuries. Jamichael Hasty with Wayne Gallman being released. I mean, I hope Mostert stays healthy and Sermon, but I mean, Hasty looks like the number three guy there with Wilson opening the year on PUP. So in deeper leagues, interesting. And then Ramondre Stevenson on New England. As much as I love Damian Harris, hard to ignore how he looked in preseason. He just looked like he'd be a beast if he took over. So, Jerry, take it away. Go over some ADP risers and fallers.
Yeah, last week was so I haven't done it for this week yet because it's still only recording this Wednesday. But from last week, we had a couple big things. Obviously, with Travis Etienne going down, that was the biggest thing. James Robinson, Carlos Hyde, their ADPs both shot up. In Robinson's case, from like sixth, seventh round range to third round range. I actually thought he settled in like the early 30s overall. And I actually thought that was a little low. Just out of curiosity, I went back and looked where he was going before the Etienne pick. Cause you know, we were kind of assuming back in March and April that Robinson, like he'd had a great year. He was going to be the lead back, possibly even a three down role again. He was going like late round two. So he's still like, he still fell like a full round basically below his pre-Etienne draft spot. And I think that's because like what you said about Urban Meyer, mostly people are just looking at this Jaguars team. And it's like the only thing people right now can talk themselves into is maybe the passing game because they'll be trailing a lot. Although I'll warn against that, if a team is really bad, the bigger effect is just they don't have the ball that much, more so than that they're, you know, and just that they aren't scoring as many touchdowns. I do wonder if some of the stuff on Urban Meyer is overblown, right? Like, he can't be that bad. They do have a lot more talent than last year, even if it's very young talent. So I'm buying James Robinson at the new price. I liked him before. He wasn't like a guy I was drafting all over the place, but I liked him before in case something happened to Etienne or in case I was wrong about how good Etienne is. I didn't think this would happen. This was just like a, you know, I guess if you drafted Robinson, a totally lucky thing. But I do like him at the new price.
And Lawrence could, you know, be generational talent. And that ETN injury probably saved me from myself. I was drafting him too high early on. And so you're not super worried about Carlos Hyde, the Ohio State connection, and that last preseason game, he whatever saw 45% of the snaps?
I'm not too worried about him as a threat to Robinson, but I do like him a lot as a late round running back pick. Like even after this happened, like his ADP was still around like 190. So basically a free pick in most leagues. Right. And he's another guy who like, yeah, you know, he may be limited upside, right? He's not real fast. He's not a particularly good pass catcher, but like they've got the only other guy on the roster is a Gunbo Wale, who is like a third down back special teams guy only. Like he doesn't really take carries. So it's another one where you're just like, based on what they've shown us, it seems like they're ready for Hyde to be getting the full workload if Robinson goes down. So just based on that possibility, where he's going, I think he should be going like 20, 30 picks higher, like kind of in the same range where like Chuba Hubbard is going maybe. Although Hubbard, I do like Hubbard more.
Totally. I would guess his ADP will rise in the final weeks here. What about who else? Sony Michel. Man, you delve deeper into the numbers, and he was first among backs in yards per touch last year, really good in rush yards over expectation. And now he's one Daryl Henderson injury away from feature back in a Rams system. I mean, what did Todd Gurley score 54 touchdowns over that three-year period, and half that time was on one leg? I mean, now Stafford's there. I mean, I don't know. Sony Michel, I can't think of a guy being like couldn't be less interested in to I think I have him ranked to pretty, I don't know, man. I haven't like ranked top 35. I think he's as much upside as any of those backup running backs there is in the league.
See, I think that we have similar takes on most things, but very different takes on the fallout from the New England Rams trade specifically.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm not a Michelle fan.
Wasn't he good in college? Sorry to interrupt you. Wasn't he an okay receiver? I know he has arthritic knee, and I mean, that all bets are off. Maybe that's a fine argument. But wasn't he an okay receiver, and New England just didn't use him as such? Like, isn't he capable of receiver as well?
Oh, yeah. If you go back and read, like, the stuff from the year, it's funny to read the stuff, like, from when he's coming out. It's about how, like, he could be, like, the James White replacement, but also on early downs, and, like, and then they ended up using him like, 45-pound lighter LeGarrette Blount, basically. Questionable, but I do also think the knees just ended up being not what they expected. Like, they expected to be getting a really agile guy, and they didn't get that. And so then they're like, put on some pounds, and we guess we'll try to make something of that. And he kind of did, right? Like, he's not like a bad player. So credit to him for that. Like, I'm sure most guys, if they had his knee issues, wouldn't be able to do anything. But he does still have those knee issues. And Henderson, despite being injured a lot, should be okay for week one. I did notice that Xavier Jones got, I don't know exactly what the transaction was, but he was like, he might be going to IR, but that still would like put him, because it happened like before cuts, that puts him out, or he's going to be injury settlement. So whatever hype he has gone, they kept Jake Funk, the rookie, instead. That did give me a little bit more on Michelle, but I did think that he just got way too much of a boost after that initial trade. Like, maybe I like Henderson more than other people. I don't know. But I just, he settled in like 9th, 10th round range. And I was just like, even if Henderson hurts or stinks, like, I just don't think Michelle's going to be in a workhorse role. I think he'll get like 12 carries and 2 targets per game. And then whoever.
That would be good.
Yeah. Jake Funk, Xavier Jones, random guy on waivers, someone else will be. Todd Gurley, bring him back. Yeah. Don't do that.
No Baltimore either. Yeah. Now, I read something that was like where he excelled at was like perfect for the Rams system. It was probably Noise, but clearly, yeah, we'll agree to disagree on that one. I'm in on Sony, but yeah, that probably will end in a disaster. Who else in the ADP risers or fallers?
Justin Fields, I noticed he barely moved after, I guess it's not a big move, but he barely moved after Dalton was named the starter, which I just found interesting because it was like, it did kind of confirm that people had basically baked that into the price, right? And which also made me think people are getting smarter about drafting quarterbacks, realizing that like these first round rookies who have wheels, like they'll probably end up starting. And like, even if they're not good, they'll put up fantasy points. And in case, if they are good, they'll be like a top 5 quarterback probably, or at least top 10. So yeah, it's like people were basically already expecting that. I did notice that Trey Lance went up a little bit last week. I know he had a good preseason game, but also it became more clear that he's not the starter. Now he's dealing with a minor injury. I wonder if people maybe were going off Fields and towards Lance a little bit.
No, I'm curious, your new column, this week's column, where Lance has moved this last week. I mean, the chip fact, you know, the chip in the throwing hand, finger, and he's just so interesting because he may not play. He may play like Taysom Hill, or he could be a top 5 fantasy quarterback per game. I mean, look at the rushing stats he put up in college and in that system. So he's one of the more interesting ranks right now in the whole league.
Yeah, I'll make sure to touch on him in the comments. See, I thought last week was like a wild one with like the Michelle trade and the Travis Etienne injury, like affecting like 4 different backfields at the same time with those 2 things. But this week with like the Dobbins thing, that alone is like even bigger, or as big as Etienne. And then with roster cuts, like that just causes all kinds of shakeups in like the middle and late parts of the rank. So it'll be interesting. But I'll definitely put Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Like, that's always a fun one to monitor. And Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor is another one that I've just found very interesting all summer. I don't feel like anything has changed with either of them. And yet there seems to have been like a lot of like opinions are just kind of all going. Everyone's hot on them and cold on them. So.
Yeah, Barkley's 100% health. And then, I guess you could say the same for the Colts, but it's just his teammates. And that, yeah, I was going to say, without little change with them, the player, I bet that those ADPs, and it's fluctuating in important positions, moving from early first to what, late second. So yeah, that's been really wild, just depending on when you drafted with those guys, for sure. All right, let's talk a couple other themes that you suggested. So let's talk some team defense and kickers. Team defense with some early season schedules you like targeting. I mean, I assume you're going to go with my Niners in Detroit. They look obviously they'll cost you maybe a higher ADP. So maybe you're after someone deeper. So who are you thinking here, Jerry?
No, I mean, the Niners starting their season at Detroit and at Philly is a good one. They do, after that, they then get Rodgers, Wilson, and Murray. So it's a 2-week play. Although you might keep them around in some leagues because they could just be a good defense, period.
They'll probably have half the team on IR by then, so you'll be dropping.
Yeah, right. And it's not quite stacked defense that we had on paper the past 2 years. Obviously, last year everyone got injured, and they still were okay. So, like, that was kind of cool.
I don't know if D Ford really is healthy with Bosa. I mean, that
that's
really
true.
Could be
the pass rush
sick.
Alone.
I mean, I'm not holding my breath, but if D Ford is truly healthy with Bosa, that could be sick. I mean, but yeah. Anyway, I'm a little biased, but who else?
I've also got Buffalo. They start their season versus Pittsburgh with you know, that. Whatever is going on with that offensive line. Roethlisberger is not someone we've normally targeted. He's not super turnover prone, even when he struggles. But this year, home game, I'll go with it. Buffalo is like a 6-point favorite too. And then they play at Miami versus Washington versus Houston. So pretty soft early schedule. Denver is one I really like, and also a defense that I think, I don't necessarily trust the team overall, but on paper, the defense is super talented. They start at the Giants, at Jacksonville versus the Jets. And then if you want to talk about a defense that is going to be like available with probably the very last pick of most drafts, Carolina starts their season with a home game against the Jets, a home game against the Saints, which sounds bad, but this is not the Drew Brees, Michael Thomas Saints. This is the Jameis Winston, Marcus Callaway Saints, who I think will put up points, to be fair, but also like Jameis put up, what, 28 per game with the Bucs a couple years ago, and he was still one of the best guys to stream against. Maybe Sean Payton fixed the turnover problems. Like, probably not. So then after that, Carolina plays at Houston week 3. So you look at that, Jets, Jameis Winston, Houston. I'd probably never touch the Panthers defense again the rest of the season, but for weeks 1 through 3, like home game against Zach Wilson especially, sure, I'll test that out.
You know, this works out well. We're talking late, deep RB sleepers and now defense and kickers. We're just working on the last final rounds of your draft, you know, when you the winning rounds of your fantasy football leagues. Carolina was a good one available, probably the last round of most leagues. Buffalo, Big Ben was sacked like so little last year, but they have a totally new system there with offensive coordinator. They may actually force him to play action and turn his back to the defense this year. Denver, Mike Clay just put out his updated unit. It's been the same all summer, though. He, you know, he does, I don't know if he uses PFF grades or whatever, but he has the Broncos as literally the number one defense in NFL this year, and like no one even treats him like that at all. Right. That's why I thought they were so interesting when they could possibly have traded for Rodgers or Watson a few months ago when I got them as a long shot. But Bridgewater, I still had them winning the wild card. I mean, I think look at those weapons. Bridgewater, solid, that defense. So I'm with you. I don't know why they're just over. They're not drafted as a top five fantasy defense, are they?
No, not at all. I think they, like earlier, like a couple of months ago, you could usually get them like as an borderline undrafted, like final round. I think they are catching some momentum now. It's been a few weeks since I drafted in a league that uses defenses, because like I love kickers and defenses, but like I know how everyone else feels about them. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I think they have a projected easy schedule too, as far as Vegas projected wins by opponents. So all right, let's go to kickers then. Which ones are you targeting?
Yeah, for kickers, especially like I really am a last round kicker guy, especially now that like the Ravens go for all these fourth downs and like the best offenses have gotten so darn good in the red zone that like they just don't create field goal opportunities. So, like usually what I do is just go with someone like Matt Gay from the Rams, Chase McLaughlin from the Browns, like some unknown kicker who's available in the last round from a team that I think is going to do well this year, like a team that I think is going to win 12 plus games, has a shot to score 28, 30 points. I think it's just not, I just have no idea with the kickers. If you're looking at streaming, I mentioned Carolina having that soft early schedule. Ryan Santoso, no clue who he is, but he won their kicker job. San Francisco, again, good early schedule. Robbie Gould, he's probably drafted in some places because he's had some big fantasy years. But he's definitely not like in anyone's kicker top five. And it's, you know, San Francisco could be a good team this year. Soft schedule first couple weeks. So I like him as a late pick too.
I believe it was Denny Carter of formerly RotoWorld, NBC Sports Edge, wrote a good kicker column like a month ago that actually had me change my rankings. And as you said, like Justin Tucker, not necessarily should be first off the board. Just they go for it on fourth down more. Just the way they use him. It's nothing to do with the kicker himself.
Right,
but like
right.
Basically Dallas, I mean, team kicker or Zuerlein there. I like them. He doesn't typically go as high, but and Bass and Buffalo. And Kuo gets a little bit overdrafted too. I know he's like swole now or whatever, his workout videos. But Gay on the Rams. Love that one as a later option.
I got Zuerlein for $1 because he was on the PUP list, so I think he was people were shying away from him just seeing that. It's like no one wants to deal with a kicker injury. I think his ADP is like rebounded now to where he's like the sixth or seventh kicker, but that's still, he should be higher than that, right? Dallas number one in pace 2 years in a row, Dak Prescott coming back, like maybe it'll be more PATs than field goals in terms of the ratio, but I think there's a good floor there just because Dallas is fast-paced and going to be in shootouts.
Yeah, I got it. Bucker, Zuerlein, Bass, and then your guy Tucker.
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at.
All right, the final segment, Jerry Donabedian's must-haves and must-fades. Let's start with quarterback. Who is the signal caller that Jerry must come away with at draft tables?
I love Josh Allen. You've probably heard of him. And need a pretty early pick to get him. But he does usually go like a round or two after Mahomes. And I basically have them dead even. Like, I think Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes both have chances at like the all-time fantasy season this year. Of course, per game, we're not going to like count it if they need a 17th game to get there. But yeah, no, I love him. I think Emmanuel Sanders over John Brown is going to be an upgrade for the Bills. They've got another year of continuity with the coach, the offensive line, coordinator, Diggs, Knox, Beasley. It's all in place. The defense is good enough. You know, I just think as a Ravens fan, I hate when I look at that team, but hopefully I'll at least get a piece of it with Josh Allen.
Yeah, man, I couldn't have been more wrong about him last year. I faded him, ranked him low. And it's especially annoying because he's from this real small local farm town. It's like 5,000 people or something. And it's my brother farms there. And it's just ridiculous. It's like two streetlights or something. And no one would have thought any NFL player, let alone a superstar quarterback. Yeah. And I just in that AFC column I talked about, I picked him as my MVP this year. I rank him over Mahomes and he goes a round and a half later. I mean, the 8 rushing touchdowns are just money in the bank. And Dable just the highest pass rate on or whatever up there. So I'm with you, man. And I'm totally fine in one quarterback leagues drafting Josh Allen in round 4.
Yeah, no. And in formats where you get like 6-point passing touchdowns, I'll move him up to round 3. And yeah, like a lot of like super flex things, he's my number 2, number 3, 4, whatever, up there, top 5 overall.
You can take him first. Yeah, you can take him first.
Yeah, no, I mean, I might, like, because it's like I'm not going to get the chance to draft Mahomes if I passed on him. So that's, I probably just take Mahomes because I'm a wimp. But
Mahomes is the safest, right, for sure. You know, obviously, you know, Allen, you know, made a big jump last year. Maybe some film will be on and whatnot. But the upside is simply higher because he runs more than Mahomes. Right. You know, I mean, right. It's just, it really is. But all right, who's the running back you like, Jerry?
Another guy you've probably heard of, Saquon Barkley. I promise I won't just be naming all superstars here. But yeah, no, I mean, he is available. I've been doing a lot of best balls on DraftKings, and he is falling to the second round more often than not. I'll take him late in the first round at the 1-2 turn. I haven't really had that much doubt about his status for week one. Like they said a month ago that he was going to ramp up in the week leading up to the Patriots preseason game. He did. He got into practice. He did 11 on 11, caught a bunch of passes. You know, I don't think he didn't come back till then because he wasn't ready. I think they brought him back at the time that he needed to be back ready for week one. Like, I think it's all been planned out. They wanted to give him more time to rest because that's optimal, but like, at least the sense I get, maybe I'm wrong, but I think he's going to be out there week one playing, maybe not his 90% of snaps, but like, you know, 18 touches on 60% of snaps at least, and very quickly be back to his 3-down role. The offensive line scares me a little, but I think with him, I worry about it less because if the offensive line stinks, maybe I'll catch 95 passes or whatever.
Barkley's a good one because, yeah, he's a star, but I mean, you have so differing opinions. I mean, I haven't really had an opinion, but I guess I have at draft tables because I've been taking Nick Chubb or Najee Harris over him, and I might really regret it just because I'm a wuss, and who cares the first couple of weeks, man? You win it the second half fantasy football. So if he's just a monster down the stretch, I like it though. So how early would you take him then? How high?
Late first round. It sort of depends. Like now I'll flirt with taking him. I'll flirt with not drafting him there because before I would just draft him there, right? He was the highest guy on my board. Now if I'm like picking 10th and he's not taken, and let's say there's someone else who I like know won't make it back, I might wait and see. But yeah, now I have him, I think, as my, why say I have him as like my RB7, which is eighth or ninth overall. So like solidly ahead of the field. I'm drafting him a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he's healthy sooner rather than later. And yeah, obviously he's so fun to watch. Who's your receiver, your must have?
DJ Chark, another guy coming off an injury plagued year. I think his ADP fell a little bit because of this preseason finger injury, which I don't think really matters. He just like took a full month to heal. He should be fine week one. And like we said, the general pessimism about Jacksonville, which I don't disagree with. But you know, the ball has to go somewhere. They've got no real tight ends. They lost their pass catching back for the year already. I think there's room for Chark, Chenault, and Jones to all be at like 80 plus targets. And I think Chark is the best player of those three, at least at this point in their respective careers. I'm not as high as on Chenault though, as a prospect as a lot of people. Like, I've drafted him nowhere in his top 100 ADP. So that's probably part of why I'm so much higher on Chark. Like, I think he's going to get a good number more targets. I think most people are expecting Chenault to get more targets, Chark to get more deep stuff. I just think he'll do both better.
Yeah, it's a RotoWire thing. Mario Puig likes him a lot. And it's his his ADP is certainly becoming more affordable. I think why I was originally against him is maybe I was in too many leagues with Liss, who was taking him super high. But since the injury, he's fallen. And, you know, obviously Marvin Jones has gotten some hype. And, you know, when the Urban Meyer quote came out, you know, he's a big guy who played little last year. But you said it too. ETN's there is gone and there's no tight end. So and he has some really impressive workout metrics, 1 year away, 1 season removed from 1,000 yards. So, yeah, I get it. And again, his ADP is going in the right direction, certainly more affordable. What about your tight end that you must have?
I really like Mark Andrews. As a Ravens fan, I think, and this has just been building, I already liked him, but wasn't drafting him a ton because of how often I'll take a top three tight end. But increasingly, I've kind of been a little more hesitant on them, partially because I want to draft Andrews later. With the Ravens, you know, losing Bateman for the first part of the season, the receiver depth already thinned out. Watkins, he'll probably be hurt soon enough. Now, Dobbins, again, like, he's not really competing with Andrews for looks, but it's just like another body that they were expecting to be taking touches that isn't. I just think more of it, I'm just seeing, I think Brown and Andrews are both going to be up around triple-digit targets again, which maybe earlier this offseason I wasn't expecting. But I do think, in general, the Ravens also might just have to pass a little more than they were hoping.
I like that pick. If I don't come away with, I'm aggressively targeting Waller, Pitts, and Hawkinson. But if I don't, then I'm drafting Andrews no matter what the round it is, because I want one of those elite tight ends this year. So I'm after them. And I saw some crazy nerd stat. It was a PFF guy talking about how in obvious passing situations, Pat Mahomes was in a different planet. But then Lamar Jackson was like surprisingly second. So I really expect him to bounce back that passing offense this year. If any of those receivers can stay upright, though, it would help if any of them could be healthy. But yeah, Andrews quietly, you know, slight disappointment last year. But man, he's in the right situation to score double-digit touchdowns easily in given that setup. Okay, the players you hate, the players you must avoid. Jerry Donabedian despises this QB.
I don't think I've even once for a second consider drafting Matt Ryan in any format across dozens of drafts this summer. I could like get on board with that. And he's not that good. And he doesn't run, but 600 pass attempts and good receivers when like he had Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. And you're like, okay, that's a ridiculous super team. They can maybe carry him to like 4,535. There's some upside, but like you take Julio Jones out. Now Russell Gage is like your number two receiver and number three pass game option. Like, it's just, you still got Pitts and Ridley, but the offense, I'm just not excited about it. Like, Ryan isn't adding any rushing stats. I just don't. If I'm gonna, I'd rather take Baker Mayfield like a round or two later. There's more upside, and he at least give you like, he might give you like 180 yards and two touchdowns, right? Matt Ryan is giving you, you're just hoping for that one QB sneak touchdown all year, and that's like all the rushing stats you're getting.
I've been saying the same thing about Mayfield's going to be the same stats as Burrow just a few rounds later, because he quietly did run the same. And Burrow, I bet you Mayfield runs for more this year than Burrow returning from three of surgeries, you know, ACL, meniscus, MCL. And yeah, the second half last year, he got 7.8 YPA and he dealt with like three windy games. I'm with you. Mayfield's just totally overlooked. I like him in Superflex. I'll push back on Matt Ryan for one reason only, Arthur Smith. I think he could just be, and Pitt, well, Pitts, two reasons, Pitts and Arthur Smith. But I have no interest in running in fantasy quarterbacks that don't run either. So yeah, he hasn't been on any of my teams either. So I'd rather gamble on Lance or Fields, frankly. Okay, who's the running back you don't want?
Your guy, Damien Harris. So his ADP is up to 71. He's like ahead of like guys like Chark, receivers who I like, Tyler Boyd, Cortland Sutton, and then also just like even like Raheem Mostert. He's ahead of him. Like I'll give me Mostert. Like I think they both have kind of the same problem with like limited upside of like they're never going to see 20 carries and they're never going to see more than two or three targets. But I think Mostert is more explosive, more upside for big plays. More injury prone too and smaller. But yeah, just, I don't know. I with James White there, and I know maybe the rookie QB makes you want to pass more, but I also just think it means there's fewer touchdowns, fewer rushing touchdowns. Stevenson, it's crowded.
I appreciate the going heads there. And man, I hope Mostert stays healthy. I hear you about the upside, and ultimately you probably are right just because the volume just can never be there. But I'd also argue there's upside with just, he's the favorite to lead the NFL in yards per carry too, though, in that system, especially with Lance takes over. If he were to get even 15 touches a game, he could be like a top 15 back. Yeah, Harris. I already told you, man. I have the bull case for him. I like him, but maybe I'm being too aggressive because, yeah, the utter lack of receiving really, really hurts in PPR. There's no denying that. Really, I like him more for his scoring potential. Who's a receiver you don't like?
Well, this is hard because I feel like the internet will come after me if I say I don't like Jerry Jeudy. Plus, like, Jerry solidarity thing, like, I shouldn't be. But, I mean, he's a great player, like, but I just, his ADP has gotten, it's shot up based on, like, a good preseason in camp, which, like, I'm fine with acknowledging those things a little bit, but it seems like he's gone up two, maybe not two rounds, but, like, a round and a half based on that. And keep in mind that, like, Courtland Sutton didn't even play to the final preseason game. I'm a Courtland Sutton fanboy. Again, it's like the Chark Chenault thing. Like, I'm probably lower on Chenault and Jeudy, not because I don't think they're good, just because I think there's someone else on their team who's going to command more targets than everyone else thinks. So when Jeudy and Sutton, like, Jeudy is this much more expensive than Sutton, then give me Sutton. When they're at the same price, that was when I was like, maybe I'm going to have to go against my guy Sutton this year. Now I'm just like, no, him and Chark, like, in the seventh or eighth round sometimes, like, yeah, I'll just take that all day.
When you first started saying the internet's going to get mad at you, I thought you were going to say who I used as my, I was forced to pick a bust per team, and I used DJ Moore for Carolina. You know, everyone's favorite receiver, DJ Moore, everyone loves him. But do you know how many catches DJ Moore had in the red zone last year? Guess how many catches he had in the red zone.
Three.
Two. Two catches in the red zone. Yeah. DJ Moore. Remember, go ahead. Yeah.
Remember he had a couple of touchdowns where he caught the ball, like, and then ran, but he didn't, like, they were like long yak touchdowns.
Anyway, I'll push back on Jeudy. I'm the sucker ranking him number 15 on my fantasy wide receiver board. And admittedly, 3 months ago, I probably had Sutton right there with him, if not ahead. So yes, maybe I'm the guy just buying all these ankle breaking routes he's running. As you point out, he should look that good in shorts, you know, the way he's built. I don't know, year two breakout, Bridgewater just seems kind of perfect for him. Sutton might be a year slow this returning. I don't know. I could see. Damian Harris and Jeudy. You are going on a limb here, though. I appreciate that. So at tight end, let me guess. You're going to say Kyle Pitts. You're really down on Pitts. You think he's overrated? You're fading Pitts, and we'll move on?
No, but it is someone else you mentioned, TJ Hockenson. There's probably guys who I'm, like, lower on relative to ADP, but he goes in, like, the same range as Andrews. So I thought, you know, and I always pick Andrews and never Hockenson. Like, I don't have any Hockenson this year, and he was, like, one of my most highly drafted last year. I mean, he's a good player, and there's not a ton of options at tight end, and he's going to get targets. I worry, like, he was at, what, seven? He was at, like, around 7 yards per target last year with Matthew Stafford in an offense that maybe didn't have good players, but, like, it had Marvin Jones, who's, like, a real wide receiver, and Amendola. This year, it's, like, a quadruple A team. I worry that he's going to be down at, like, 6 yards per target. Like, I don't know that 110 targets will guarantee that he hits ADP. I guess it would probably guarantee that he's not, like, a bust of a pick, right? But, like, something like 75, 704 or something is, like, that's kind of what I'm seeing for him. Like, they're going to be, like, manufacturing all these lousy little short passes because, like, they don't, even if he's good, they can't get him open downfield because they have no other receiving threats. They've got Goff at QB. I think they're going to end up being, like, really low quality targets.
And he's dealing with an AC sprain right now, but I'm in on him. I think he's going to be a monster in the red zone.
He's good. He's a good player.
Like Andrews, I think he's a threat to score double digit touchdowns, but maybe he's just another guy dominating in practice and they just get so much attention because it's almost like there's too bad the route tree there. I mean, the receivers are just obviously the worst in football. While we're sticking with Detroit, thanks for completing that exercise. Some good picks, but I want your opinion because I said Trey Lance might be the most polarized or tough guy to rank. Take it back. It might be DeAndre Swift. Where do you stand on him?
Yeah, where do I stand on him? I haven't been really drafting him recently. I think I took him in, like, one best ball the other day because I think he fell to the fifth round. So, yeah, I mean, I've kind of been on board with him falling like that throughout the summer because, like, the Lions, I will say the offensive line is, like, their one possible strength that looks pretty solid. But, like, does that matter if you're coaching your quarterback and your receivers are all, like, mediocre or worse? We'll see.
I mean, 10 touchdowns, 13 games as a rookie, 57 targets. I mean, he could just be, and like you said, there's no other options there to get those targets. I mean, you got to project a running back for like 100 targets. But I mean, the groin injury dates back to college. The donkey coaching staff already referred to Jamal Williams as the 1A back. So I could see both sides so clearly there. But I mean, the upside's through the roof.
Yeah, no, he does. I mean, I think he looked phenomenal last year. I didn't even like him that much as a prospect. Like, I thought he was a little bit of a reach early second round, but I felt like I was wrong by the end of the year. He looked awesome. But yeah, the groin injury, the Jamal Williams signing, the new coaching staff, the Matthew Stafford turning into Jared Goff. I see too many things going wrong. Like, in that RB dead zone, like, Chris Carson is the guy I'm going for, because I'm like, at least I'm confident in what he'll do per game. Like, I don't know if he'll play more than four of them, but I know what he'll do per game, and I know that I can start him when he's on the field.
Totally. All right, Jerry, thanks for, despite some shaky picks, nicely done. And I also appreciate your cat making multiple appearances on the podcast. Is there anything that you're working on that you'd like to promote?
Yeah, you mentioned at the beginning of the show. So every Monday during NFL season, I do something called Backfield Breakdown on RotoWire. I've done a lot of different articles from RotoWire over the years. I'm not sure this is the most entertaining to read, but I will tell you that out of all like the articles I write, this one helps me with my fantasy teams like miles more than any other. I go through every backfield from every game, look at, you know, snaps, touches, targets, who's playing on third and long, who's playing 2-minute drill, who's getting goal line, all that kind of stuff. Like, break it down, show like stat charts and then bullet points for the other stuff. And then I do the same thing for wide receivers and tight ends every Tuesday. So basically to give you like, for like looking for like waiver pickups, I just find that super helpful. Again, it is a lot of information, but it is like, you know, it might take you 15 minutes to go through something that, you know, takes hours and hours to compile. So I do think if someone's got the time, I know that writing it makes me a better fantasy player. So I would hope that someone reading it would benefit from it too.
Totally. I highly recommend it. Thanks for jumping on and talking football with me, man.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, Don.
Follow Jerry on Twitter at Jerry Don Abedian for more. And make sure you're following me at Dalton Del Don, and give at Yahoo Fantasy a follow while you're at it. If you missed anything from week zero in college football, make sure to check out the College Football Inquirer podcast with Dan Wetzel, Pete Thamel, and SI's Pat 40 for a complete breakdown. Liz Loza will be back with a new episode of this podcast tomorrow. Until then, we are out.